Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I started thinking about something maybe a week or so ago, and when I think about things, you know, pertaining to the Word or something to teach, I write it down on a pad and go back to it. Sometimes they're good ideas, and sometimes, you know, I just don't bother with them. But anyway, I thought about going on a trip. You've all probably been on a trip somewhere at some time, maybe. When I was a kid, we used to, every summer, as soon as school was out, my mom would take me and my little brother, and my dad would take us to Penn Station in New York. We'd get on this train, and we'd go to South Carolina, where my grandmother lived. So we'd leave about 3:30 at night, 3:30 in the afternoon, and we'd get there about 6:30 the next morning. Okay. Then my dad would come down in August, usually the beginning of August, because he had 4 weeks vacation, and he would stay, and then we would drive home and get home like 2 days before school started. So, but we would take that trip, and in the early days, there were no interstates. So we had to plan which way. My dad would belong to AAA, so he would get a trip, what they call a trip ticket. He would, you know, they'd give you a little booklet, and it would plan your whole trip and places to stop and all this stuff. So when you plan a trip, usually you have a destination. And I say usually because there are some people that will just get out on the road and wander around for a while. But most of the times, if you take a trip, you have a destination, right? You have a place where you're going. And the reason for the trip and the destination will probably determine several things. You'll have to determine how long you have to make the trip, which means travel time, how long you're going to stay there, how long it takes to get back. So that will also determine the mode of transportation you want to take. You know, if you're going to Bermuda or you're going to Puerto Rico or you're going to one of those places, you have two choices. You have three choices. You can swim, which would take forever. You could take a plane or you could take a boat, right? And so you have those. If you're going to California, you can take a plane or you can drive. You know, so that depends what your mode of transportation is. And then once you figure out your mode of transportation, then you have to figure out, if you're driving, you have to figure out your route. If you're taking a plane, you want to find the best price. You want to see if you're going nonstop or if you have to switch planes or all that other stuff. And then if you're driving and it's more than a one-day trip, you might have to figure out your accommodations, where you want to stay, and you make a reservation. You figure out how long you want to drive. Like, you may want to drive a long time or you may want to drive 6-7 hours and that's it. And then hang out for a night and relax. And then you have to make other preparations. You know, what kind of clothing do I need and what do I have to pack and how much room do I have and how much money am I going to take with me or do I need traveler's checks or my credit card or my debit card or whatever else. You know, what you're going for and what are you going for? Are you going for pleasure? Are you going for business? And so on and so forth. So all these things play into making a trip or taking a journey, right? Okay, now, in life, we make a journey, don't we? We're on a journey. And it's an interesting journey because our destination is heaven. Our destination is Christ is coming back to gather us together. So we don't really know how long our journey is going to last. You know, we don't know. We don't know how long that journey is going to be. It could be for a long life. And if you don't fall asleep, that's great. You could fall asleep when you're 95 or 100 or 70 or whatever. Or if Christ comes back, it could be over in about 5 minutes or 2 seconds or the blink of an eye. So that's pretty interesting. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it tells us this. It tells us about our destination on the journey we are embarked upon. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." It's kind of cool. It says, with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. And that's a figure of speech there, like sentence beginnings, with, to emphasize those things are all together, right? It's with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. All those three things together. Boom, 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 and we're gone. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And that's our destination. That's our final destination. We will ever be with the Lord. Now, wherever he happens to be, we may go, and we may make trips with him, but I don't think they're going to be of any consequence. I mean, we're going to just enjoy it, and he's in the driver's seat. So all we have to do is enjoy the trip. And actually, at the end, when he comes to get us, that's going to be a great little journey up into the clouds. So we know our destination. We don't know how long it's going to be, but it is up to us to decide how we're going to make the journey. Are you going to make the journey believing God? Are you going to make the journey rejoicing in the destination that we're going to get to, and with the anticipation of what it's going to be like? You know, part of the great excitement of making a journey, if you're taking a vacation, for instance, is the anticipation. You know, it's the anticipation of how great it's going to be and the fun you're going to have and how great it's going to be. Sometimes journeys meet the anticipation, sometimes they don't. In the case of our lives and the gathering together, I'm pretty sure that the destination and our arrival in heaven is going to far exceed any anticipation we have. So our anticipation could be great, it can be joyful, it can be excited, and yet, when we get there, it's going to be far greater than anything we can imagine. I can only say that because that's what the Word says, because it says it's when we're glorified together with God, it's going to, you know, the things that we go through on earth, it's not even worthy to be compared to. It says that God is going to bless us and for all ages to come. You know, he says he's going to do all kinds of things. So we have to take into consideration that we do not know how long our journey will last, but we have to also take into consideration and the anticipation of what it's going to be like. And then we have to take into consideration what God tells us to do as far as how to live and make this journey, because God tells us. So let's look down. It says in verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Then chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." You don't have any need, any concern, any worry about of the times and the seasons, about when this is going to happen. You know, if you take a trip, a journey, and you have to catch a plane, you have to take that into consideration, don't you? You have to be concerned about the time. You know, have to get my wife out the door because she wants to wait till the last second. So I always tell her we have to leave earlier than we really do, just to make sure. Have a margin of error there. Okay? We have no margin of error with the return of Christ. When he comes, whether you're packed or not, you're going. You know? We're ready to go. Times and the seasons. Times means the general, you know, there are times. Seasons mean the exact time, and the times are the portion of that season when we're going to go. And we don't have any need to know about it. "For yourselves know perfectly." You know perfectly. You may not have known that you know perfectly, but you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know perfectly. Why do we know perfectly? Because God has told us that it's going to come as a thief in the night, and we don't have any concern about when it's going to come. Hold your place in Thessalonians. Go to Acts chapter 1. I guess I thought about this because my wife and I are planning a vacation. Because, you know, usually she picks the place we're going to go, and she likes to go to Aruba. And I said, I'm done with Aruba. And I said, I want to go to California. I've never been there. So we're going to go to California for a couple of weeks. So we're going to drive the coast and see all. So we started looking at stuff online, and she started getting excited because we've picked out some places where we want to stay. We want to go to Big Sur. You ever hear of Big Sur? It's this place on the California coast, and there's these cliffs, and it's really beautiful. And then there's, we want to go to the wine country, Napa Valley, and that's supposed to be really beautiful. And I want to see the Redwood Forest, and then we're going to go to Lake Tahoe and all that kind of thing. It's exciting. It's fun. So we're going to do this thing, and it's, you know, we're planning. We're starting to plan. So we're making the preparations, and we have to take into consideration all the different stuff, how long we're going to take, how much money we have, how we're going to go, what we're going to do, and so on and so forth. Okay, but we know when we're going, if the Lord tarries. If he decides to come, then we're going to scrap it. I'm not going to say, no, I'm not getting gathered. I want to go to California first. Okay, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, Jesus Christ was assembled together with the apostles he had chosen. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So they had to wait. They were commanded to wait. They had to hang out in Jerusalem. Now, they weren't really thrilled with hanging out in Jerusalem because it hadn't been a really good experience of late. Right? Jesus Christ was crucified, and then he rose from the dead, and they went to Galilee, and then he went and got him and brought him back and met him on, I guess it was Mount of Olives, right? And he said, wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. Wait for the giving of Holy Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Okay, at the time of the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, that means that Jesus Christ has come back and is ruling as king. Okay, so that would be in the future. It's still in the future as far as we're concerned. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, if Jesus Christ was God, he would know when it was going to happen. But he didn't know. He said, it's not for you to know. It's in the power of the Father. So it's an unknown time when Jesus Christ will come back, because there's two parts to his coming back. He comes back to gather us together, and then he comes back with us and with the angels to take over on the earth and to rule as king. So it was a legitimate question that they asked because it's prophesied of. But he says, not for you to know. This is what I'm telling you. You go wait in Jerusalem for the promise of Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So his instruction to them for their journey in life was to be witnesses unto him. You know? And that's an instruction to us too. We are to be witnesses for God and for Jesus Christ. We're to be witnesses unto Jesus Christ, and we live in the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They weren't doctors or nurses or people from the insane asylum, but they were angels, as far as we know, messengers from God. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The first message after the ascension of Christ that God gives man is he's coming back. How significant, how important, how great. You know, the first epistle we believe written by Paul was Thessalonians. You know, even though it was, it comes at the end, it was the first thing that everybody really needed to know. He's coming back. You know, so that's our destination, and that's, we should plan our life around that destination. And Jesus Christ's commandment was, when you receive Holy Spirit, you're to be witnesses unto me. So the first requirement of our journey is to be witnesses unto him, knowing that we don't know when he's coming back. You know, we don't know when he's coming back. So we have to be ready. Are your bags packed? Okay, back to Thessalonians chapter 5. So it said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as the thief in the night. Day of the Lord is that period of time when Jesus Christ comes back, the Lord's day, not Sunday, not Christmas, not Easter, but the Lord's day. The Lord's day is a period of time, right? It starts with the gathering together, and then it goes all the way through when he comes back to rule on earth and so on. And then verse 3 says, the word for and the word shall are not in the text. So it reads, the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. And that's referring to the natural man. Natural man, it's just going to come upon him as a thief in the night. Does a thief send you a notice and tell you when he's going to come and steal from you? Does he send you an email and say, I'm coming tonight at 2 a.m. to rob your house? No. And usually look and watch to see when you're not home or something like that. So, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child. Travail could be translated the pangs of birth. The pangs of birth. Any woman that's been pregnant and had a child, if they didn't get a sedative or a spinal, knows the pangs. Well, even the first contractions, you feel the pangs, even if you get something when you deliver. And it's a pain, right? It comes all of a sudden. You have no warning, and all of a sudden, whoops. Okay, I only know this because I watched my wife 4 times. And I was thankful each time it wasn't me. Okay. But ye, brethren, in contrast to those that will be caught unaware, in contrast, ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're not in darkness means it's figurative speech. It's a figure of speech. It's a metaphor. You're not in the dark. You're not unaware. You're not in sin, in darkness. Okay? That day should not overtake you as a thief. You shouldn't be surprised. Ye are all the children of light, or the sons of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Now, this is a great and interesting verse. Light is versus night, or darkness, and day is let's see. Light is versus darkness, and night is versus day. Okay, it makes that juxtaposition. There's a figure of speech that pertains to point out the contrast. We are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. We're children of light. We're righteous. We're born again. We're sanctified. We're holy. We're God's children. And we have the assurance. We have the proof that we're going to heaven, that we're going to be gathered together. We're not of the night. We're not spiritually unaware. We know he's coming back to get us. See, that's part of our living the journey. We keep in mind that we are who we are and he's coming to get us. And that should be something we think about every day, that he's coming back to get us, that all the stuff is going to be left behind and we have eternal life with the Lord in a perfect place, in a perfect body forever. Okay. Therefore, because you know that, because you're children of light, children of the day, not of the darkness, not of the night, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. And it doesn't mean you can't sleep, because you need sleep, right? If you have sleep deprivation, what happens? You get really tired and your mind gets wacky and all kinds of, your body wears out. No, but it means to not be asleep spiritually, you know, not to forget these things, not to fall asleep spiritually, but to be aware. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, as the natural man, but let us watch and be sober. We're to watch, we're to be aware in life and to be sober. We're to have our wits about us. We're to be on top of things, you see? That's what it says. We are to be sober. And you know, that extends to physically, because if you're drunk, if you're high, you can't hear God. God can't talk to you. You can't do what God wants you to do. Okay? So we're to be sober. We're to be vigilant. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And that doesn't just mean the physical night, but it means, you know, they're in darkness. They live in darkness. Okay? Sleep spiritually. Well, they sleep in the night. They're in evil. They're in darkness. They're drunk. They're drunk in evil and in darkness. You know, they don't even have to be physically drunk. They could be spiritually drunk, with filled up with all kinds of crap. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. You know? But, you know, instead of being asleep spiritually and drunken spiritually, we who are of the day, of the light, we are to be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. The word breastplate is the word thorax. Thorax, which means, you know, your chest cavity, right? That's what in English it means. It comes from the Greek. Okay, it means breast or breastplate. So we're to put on. Okay, if you put it on, how do you put it on? You put it on mentally, but it's that word, like you put on a jacket or a shirt. You put it on. You put on believing. You put on God's word and believe it. You put on the love of God and a renewed mind and manifestation. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation, the hope of our final and complete deliverance. You know, when he comes back, we will get deliverance. If you're sick, you'll be healed. If you're dead, you're going to be raised. If you're lame, you're not going to be any longer lame. If you're bald, your hair grows back. If you're whatever, if you're blind, you're going to get your hearing, your seeing back. If you're deaf, you're going to get your hearing back. You know, whatever is wrong, you're going to get a new body. It's all going to be changed. So we're to put that on in our brains. That's the helmet of our salvation, the hope, the return of Christ. He's coming to get us, that destination. You know, when you make a trip, you anticipate the destination, don't you? I can remember going to the first time I went to a resort in the Caribbean. And my wife had been there before. I never had been there. And we went to Cancun. And when I saw the color of the water, I couldn't believe it, because it was so blue. And it was just like, wow, it just took my breath away. It was like, I can't believe it. It was amazing. Then it says in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's appointed us to salvation. Psh. who died for us. This is the only place in Thessalonians where it speaks of the death of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He appointed us to salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Shouldn't really be a separate verse there. That whether we wake or sleep, you know, whether we're alive or we are fallen asleep, we should live together with him. We should live together with him. That's what we look forward to. That's our anticipation, you know, and we should live our lives with that anticipation. You know, it could be a short journey or it may be a long journey. Well, if it's a long journey and, you know, life is not perfect and there are going to be bumps in the road and curves and hills and rainstorms, and are you going to live it with the anticipation of being with Christ, or are you going to go, wow, what a crappy life? You know, you can live it one way or the other. You can live it with lightness and joy, with anticipation of the gathering together, or you can get burdened down by the things of life. How do you want to live that life? How do you want to make that journey? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as ye do. So as we go along in this journey, one of the things we can do is we can edify one another. Which means what? Build each other up. We're to comfort one another. Which means to exhort one another, actually. And we beseech you, brethren, we lovingly implore you to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And we're to be, what? At peace among ourselves. That's a big deal, and it's important to God. In our journey, we're to comfort one another, exhort one another, to edify one another, and to be at peace with one another on the journey. What a great thing. Now we exhort you, brethren, and warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. You know, if somebody's unruly, you're to say, hey, that's not the way God would have you to be. If somebody's weak, I forget what feeble-minded is, but anyway. Discouraged. Yeah, that's what it is. That's right. Now I remember. Thank you. It's discouraged. If somebody's discouraged, we're to encourage them. If somebody's weak, we help them. We try to overcome the weakness or strengthen them some way. And we're to be patient, you know, long-suffering toward all men. And then it goes on, and it says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Any man is any man, isn't it? We're not to render evil for evil. You know, we're not looking to get even. You know, if somebody does evil to you, best thing you can do is pray. Pray for them. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So we're to ever follow that which is good. You know, in our journey, in our life, we're to build up, we're to edify, we're to comfort, we're to help people, we're to give, we're to bless, we're to ever follow good. That's our journey in life. Always remembering the destination. Keeping in mind where we're going and building that anticipation for that time, that day of arrival. Then it goes on, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. You know, and that's something we all probably could get better at, is being thankful. You know, but what a great thing to live life and be thankful. You know, if somebody gave you an all-inclusive free trip to wherever you'd like to go, whether it be Florida, Disneyland, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Paris, I don't care. Would you murmur and complain the whole trip, or would you anticipate it? Think about it. I mean, that bastard, he gave me that trip. I hate him for that. Right. Now I have to be happy. I don't want to be happy. I want to be miserable. Right. You know, be thankful. God gave us a destination. It is the perfect, best destination you're ever going to go to. You should be thankful every moment of every day of your life for that destination, that guarantee, that vacation of all vacations. It's not a vacation, but it's going to be great. Okay. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you can take that very personally. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Those two verses go together. The word prove means to test or try. And how do you try all things or test all things or prove all things? By the word of God. You know, that's the standard by which we measure things, try things, prove things. And it says hold fast that which is good. And then it says abstain from all appearance of evil. That means whatever you've tried, whatever you've tested, you hold fast to that which is good and you abstain to what you believe to be evil. Okay? Because if you abstain from all appearance of evil, if that's a physical thing, then I could say, well, I don't like the dress you're wearing. That's an appearance of evil. And somebody else could say, well, I don't like the way your hair is. That's an appearance of evil. And I don't like the people you're hanging out with. That's an appearance of evil. I mean, it would go on and on and on. That's not what it means, but I've heard people use it that way, and it's baloney. Okay? It has to do with the context. The context. And the context is prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, all that appears evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing. See, we travel this road of life always looking towards, always anticipating our destination, which is to ever be with the Lord in the air, always being with him. You know, what a great thing to anticipate. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. What a great destination. You don't even need a reservation. You already have it. We're already seated in the heavenlies. We have the penthouse suite. You ever stayed in the penthouse suite? It's really cool. Years and years and years ago, Dr. Worrell did a anniversary weekend in Boston at the Prudential Center. And my wife and I checked in, and they overbooked the hotel, and they put us in a penthouse suite. It was, you know, way up, like 70 stories up, and it was all glass windows overlooking Boston. And we had Jeffrey, and he was a baby, so we had this big suite, so it was really cool, so we could get him where he was comfortable and not disturbed and stuff. It was really neat. Anyway, we have the penthouse suite in heaven. Heaven is a penthouse suite. Okay, chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 6. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." Who's righteous? Us. So he lays up sound wisdom for us. "He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." That means he protects us. "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." The way, you know, the way we walk, the way we travel, the way we go. "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." You know, God gives us the paths to walk in life, and we just follow them. Chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." You know, if I wanted to make a trip, and you ever have a GPS? You know, and you have to go somewhere, and you don't know where it is, and you plug it into the GPS, well, then you rely on the GPS, don't you? And even if it says something that you don't think is right, if you don't know where you are, you don't really have a choice. You have to trust it, don't you? Well, how about God? God is the best GPS ever invented. He's our GPS for life. He's our roadmap for life. His word is our roadmap for life. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, that's how we make the journey. We allow God to direct our path. We understand what he says in his word. And we always keep in mind anticipating the end of the journey, the destination, which is heaven. What a great place to be. What a great thing to think about. We should be thankful all the time. Don't let the devil cheat you out of the joy of being a son or daughter of God. You know, our journey is a joyous journey. It's a great journey. And it could end at any second and we're there. You know, it's like you get on a jet and you're going somewhere and you fall asleep and the next thing you know, you wake up and you're there. You know, and just, wow, that was quick. We're here already. Our journey is already planned. It's, you know, all we have to do is listen to God. Let him direct thy paths. He shows us the way, and it's a joyous journey. You know, we bless each other. We comfort each other. We edify one another. We help one another. We're at peace with one another. We're rejoicing always. We're praying always. And we're ever thankful because we have the penthouse suite. We're already there in the greatest place we could ever be, which is with the Lord. Okay? So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, taking care of us. We thank you for giving us the victory in Christ Jesus, that we are assured that we are victorious, that we have our reservations, that we can just make this journey through life a joyous one and a thankful one. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.